heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, so happy to be with you again. Thanks for tuning in and joining us for this hour in front of us. We've got a great show, which I'll get to in just a moment. But first, a question. Do you live your life in joy? How full and robust is your joy? Well, this Sunday's Gospel lesson from the 15th chapter of John, we are once again met with a storehouse of wisdom and riches worthy of hours of reflection, all in 9 short verses. What struck me profoundly this time around is the way that Jesus ties together joy and love. He says this to his disciples. He says, "If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you." Now, carrying on from our gospel last week, where Jesus was talking about we, the branches, remaining in him, the vine, this week Jesus talks about remaining in his love through our keeping of the commandments. And just in case we missed it earlier, he said it repeatedly throughout the gospel, right? His fundamental commandment is this, to love one another as he loves us. All right, a couple things to say about this. First, note how this is cyclical in nature. And intentionally so. We get a taste of Jesus' love for us, and then we're meant to pass that love along to those around us, you know, our family members, our friends, neighbors, acquaintances, and even our enemies. But when we do that, we remain in Jesus' love, which enables us to experience more of it, because he is love, right? So we then have more of it to share. And the circle just keeps going round and around, deeper and deeper into the love of Jesus. And that's how our joy grows and is made complete. Not through experiencing Jesus' love alone, not through loving others alone, but in the mysterious divine interplay between the two, when we both receive and give the love of God. Second thing that springs to mind is a quote from Gaudium et Spes, frequently quoted by St. John Paul II. This is from paragraph 24. It says, "Man cannot fully find himself except through a sincere gift of himself." The only way, in other words, that we fully become the children of God we are created to be is through giving ourselves away to others in love. That's the way we find ourselves. And finding ourselves is the very depth of true joy. Remember the joy experienced by the shepherd and the woman and the father who found a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son in the 3 parables in Luke chapter 15? Well, imagine that joy multiplied exponentially when we find ourselves. And of course, we find our true selves in the very depths of God. And one of the most mysterious and, I would say, tantalizing aspects of the divine economy, we receive our true selves only in giving ourselves away. So, if you'd like to grow in joy, the question seems to be, how are you giving yourself away? Do you give yourself freely? Do you give freely of your time to others? Maybe you even think about how you might spend your time in love for others. What about in your abilities? Do you utilize your unique skills and gifts so that others will experience God's love? And of course, what about your resources? Do you give lovingly and generously so that others might encounter the person of Jesus in the everyday circumstances of their lives? Well, there's many, many ways of doing all of this. One way, of course, is through supporting the ministry and outreach of Relevant Radio. Now, this isn't the only way, but it is a way of doing it. Here at Practicing Catholic, we're grateful for the generous ways that Relevant Radio continues to support us and this program, which they can do because of your generosity. So thank you. And if you'd like to begin giving or continue your giving, you can do so online at relevantradio.com, through the Relevant Radio app, or by calling 877-291-0123. Thank you for giving hope. May you remain in Christ's love, and may your joy be complete. Well, going the extra mile and living out the command to love is something that might as well be part of the job description for staff members of our Catholic schools. Brian Regatz from the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence will be with us to shed some light on the heroic behind-the-scenes stuff that's been happening in our Catholic schools during the pandemic and to honor the good people behind it. Next, Ann Fredrickson is with us from Alpha Women's Center because she's taking pro-life to the streets, literally, with a mobile women's clinic. She'll tell us all about it. And hail to the chief, the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women has a new president. We'll meet and chat with Mickey Nicholson. That's all coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show to give it over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, ever since the pandemic began, we've been hearing about essential workers. But even amongst these essential workers, we've seen some of what I'll call excellent workers as well. Men and women who have sacrificed, yep, they've taken risks, and they've gone well beyond to help our communities not just to survive, but to thrive. One place where I've seen many excellent workers is within our Catholic schools. Here to honor these excellent workers with me is Brian Regatz, president of CSCO, the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me, Patrick. It's a great lineup you have today, and I'm honored to be part of it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Thank you for your generosity with us. Well, Brian, it's certainly clear to us now that COVID wasn't just a temporary thing that happened near spring break of 2020. I remember hearing the schools would be closed for maybe 2 weeks, and even that was shocking at the time. Well, looking back now, what were some of the ways, some of the areas, I guess, of concern that most Catholic schools were struggling to navigate in those early days of COVID?
Yeah, I think they called it an 8-day pause.
Right.
And that pause lasted a long time. Well, I think the biggest challenge that schools faced was ever-changing and conflicting information. And that's really through no fault of anyone other than, you're trying to discover and learn new things about a pandemic as it goes. And,
right.
Each school had to come together and decide what's the best thing we can do for our students. How can we be open in person? And, it really was a great exercise of community. And, it wasn't just about school leaders or teachers. It was about parents and people and their expertise in their own profession and their jobs coming together and coming up with a plan that would find a way to open schools safely. And the 79 schools, pre-K to 8 in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, opened up, and they stayed open. And, parents are really grateful for that. We are also seeing a lot of excellence that's happening in the buildings with kids' scores, and just kids being in the building. We know in-person learning is the best thing for all of them.
Sure, of course. Well, what is CSCO's role in all this? What was CSCO doing? In what ways have you been able to support the Catholic school staffs and faculties when it comes to navigating this new and, as you mentioned, ever-changing terrain?
Yeah. Well, the greatest part about it, too, is that we're not doing this by ourselves. There's great foundations that have supported Catholic schools with scholarships, and then obviously the leadership of Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins was important to really kind of drive schools to be in person. CSCO has been able to provide a lot of support directly through principals, through ways that they can connect with one another. We have a principal hub, and it's a Google community, basically, and they are able to talk to each other, and they ask each other questions daily. It's just kind of a beautiful thing to see these principals really work together. Part of it is, you know, really knowing when to lead and when to cheerlead. And, you know, but at the end of the day, the feat of the year can't be that we're open. It has to be that the schools are excellent. And so we're working with these schools every day in many ways to find ways to be the change and drive the change and be excellent every day. One of the things we offered this year was a new initiative called the Peace of Mind Initiative, which was to provide mental health and wellness to parents, to teachers, and to principals. Supporting kids by providing parents and adults in their lives tools and techniques for how to maintain calm and chaos. And just a few weeks ago, we've had over 5,000 people log into some of these webinars and seminars and one-on-one interactions with licensed psychologists just to help out. It's been truly remarkable to see that progress over the last few months here.
Well, what about that Peace of Mind initiative or any other initiatives that were started because of the pandemic? Any that you're hoping will stick around after the pandemic clears and we're back to pretty much, well, I don't want to say business as normal or business as usual or normal or whatever it is, but I do want to say back to some semblance of normalcy?
Yeah, we call those COVID keepers.
COVID keepers. Oh, I like it.
COVID keepers. Yeah, well, Peace of Mind is definitely sticking around. We have found that, you know, really parents are very grateful for an opportunity because, you know, we're all in this together. There's nobody is taught on how to parent or how to teach during a pandemic. Nobody is taught these things. And we know our kids are dramatically impacted by it, whether it's, you know, not being on a sports team or having to be quarantined because of an exposure. You know, these are things that impact kids. And Peace of Mind 2.0, as we call it, we're planning it right now. And we want to be able to provide more teachers with training in childhood anxiety. We want to be able to provide more counselors in more schools, more days of the week. We want to focus on middle school. It's a very challenging time for students. And I think overall, we want to shift that focus of not just supporting parents and teachers and adults, but also directly supporting kids. This is something that was needed before a pandemic. The calls for it dramatically increased during, and we want to make sure we keep it for many years after.
Right. And certainly the staff of our Catholic schools, I mean, they're in it to support the kids, obviously, and to support their learning and their maturation throughout their young days and to turn them into, as we were speaking about at the beginning of the show, help them to realize the children of God that they are created to be and help them grow into that. What are some of the ways, Brian, that you have seen the teachers respond in this? Because as you mentioned, these are challenging times. How have you seen teachers really not just rise to the occasion, but actually go above and beyond?
Yeah, it's tremendous. You know, you start off the show talking about the importance of giving ourselves away in love. And I don't know if a teacher or a staff member if any other group of people exemplifies that right now. I'm sure many do, but to me, teachers and staff have given themselves away in love every day of every year, but especially this year. You know, teachers and staff didn't just show up to school, but they stepped up, providing that combination of support for those that had to be in distance and learning, as well as managing and the children in front of them. I think the unique part of what Catholic schools and Catholic schools teachers do is they make sure everybody feels like they're the only one in the classroom. They have a kid first mentality, and that's just so indicative of Catholic school teachers. I couldn't be more proud of them, and we're trying to find ways to support them and show our gratitude with our upcoming virtual fundraiser we have this weekend.
And that's exactly what we wanted to get to, is that this is an upcoming bash of some sort that will be honoring teachers and staff. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so every year we call it a bash. It's a virtual gala this year. And it's kind of a hybrid where we have some people in the audience from a socially distanced standpoint, but also most people will be tuning in live. And every year we have what we call a Legacy of Greatness Award. And this year our Legacy of Greatness is all 2,500 teachers and staff members that are teaching in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, pre-K to 8. So really what we wanted to do is, now this is a fundraiser for us, but we want to give money away to teachers and to staff. And so I sent a video to all principals talking about the importance and gratitude that everybody has for Catholic school teachers this year. And that's everybody, from the office staff to the custodian to the science teacher. Everybody played a role in coming back. Like I said, you can't have in-person learning without in-person teachers. Yeah. And so I sent a video to principals, asked them to send it to all their teachers and staff. And basically, I said, I want to honor all of you, and I'm grateful for all of you. And I want you to nominate somebody or yourself that just crushed it this year, that did amazing things, that deserve a reward. And everybody does. We got over 1,400 responses to that. And we randomly selected six of those 1,400. And five of those people will receive $1,000 from Cisco. And if they receive $1,000, their school will also receive $1,000. We're going to announce those live this weekend at our bash. And not only that, but we're also going to have a $5,000 winner. And we're going to announce that as well this weekend at the bash, May 8th. And in addition to that, not only will that person receive $5,000, but their school will receive $5,000. And you know, these people are so deserving, and I just think it's going to be so fun for people to watch us give away $5,000 to one person and money to other people live on TV. And then if we are successful, in addition to supporting Catholic schools and the schools that Cisco serve, we also want to do something special for all 2,500 teachers and staff members. Now, you have to tune in to find out what that is, and we have to.
Oh, come on!
Hey, it's a fun thing. You got to tune in to find out what it is, but it's going to be pretty amazing, and we're pretty proud of it, and we are hopeful that we receive the donations to make it happen.
Great, great. So this is the Catholic School Center of Excellence Bash that's going on, this virtual Cisco Bash. It's going on this Saturday, May 8th. So if you're listening on Sunday, I'm sorry, it has taken place already. But if you're listening Friday or Saturday, you can still, well, I don't know, Brian, I should ask, is this event open to anyone to attend virtually?
Oh, absolutely. If you go to ciscobash.org, you find all the information. And if you're listening on Sunday, we will gladly take any donation that you may want to give to support school.
Very good. Very good. As will we at Relevant Radio. Yes. We yeah, absolutely. So it's Cisco Bash, which is C-S-C-O-E Bash, BASH.org. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. And people can register there. And yeah, it looks like there's going to be other things like, will there be auction items as well?
Yep, there'll be auction items, silent auction items. That actually is open right now. You can bid on anything. There'll be live auction items. There's also something we're doing called a Terrific Teacher Shout-Out, and this is all on the website. But basically, you know, everybody has a special teacher in their life that made a difference. And although we're honoring those that are teachers today, you know, I had a teacher in third grade at St. Joe's in West St. Paul named Mrs. Gagliardi, and she was amazing. And the teacher, Terrific Teacher Shout-Out, provides an opportunity for anybody to donate money to Cisco, and Cisco will honor that person live at the bash, and then we will create a letter that we will send directly to that person from Cisco thanking them for everything they've done. It's just a nice way that we can honor teachers that are past and obviously that are present and say thank you to them. And there's one year that we recognize the value of teachers. It's this year.
Right, right. Well, what I'm hearing through that, especially Brian, is kind of a return to that what I was speaking about at the beginning of the show, which was kind of this, you know, it's a cycle of things. You know, the more we give ourselves away, then we should be deepening our own intimacy with Christ and with His love. And what a great way of expressing that through giving a Terrific Teacher shout out, a great way we can give of ourselves, and then that teacher can feel the love, as it were, you know, so to speak, that they can understand that what they're doing really is making a difference. It's making quite an impact in students' lives.
I think you said that perfectly. There's just so many times in our lives that we look back at people that helped shape us for who we are. And this is an opportunity to do so. And gratitude is something that you can never give enough of.
Yeah.
And the more we can do it, and this is one special way to do it, but the more we can do it and say thank you, whether it's, you know, 10 years ago or 40 years ago,
Right.
It's something that makes a tremendous impact on people when they receive it, and we just want to be part of that and make it happen for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of minutes remaining, Brian, but just wondering what Cisco's plans are going into the rest of 2021, looking ahead to next school year and everything like that. Any thoughts, any plans, or are we still kind of waiting to see what happens here with the whole pandemic situation?
Oh, well, you know, we're quick, we're nimble, and we shift. We don't want to wait around, so we have a lot of great plans. You know, one thing that we're really excited about is, you know, I think everybody's worry going into this year was, are the families that transferred into Catholic schools this year going to stay? Mm. You know, as you know, we were up over 1,000 students this year. It's the first time in a long, long time that the Archdiocese of St. Paul Minneapolis was an increase in students in K-8. And a lot of people wondered, and a lot of it is because people transferred in. And the question was, are the people that transferred in going to stay? And what we've heard anecdotally from schools is resounding yes. That not only people are going to stay, but I actually got an email from a principal of a school in the northern suburbs that said, the best part about it is we weren't sure if our transfer students coming from public schools would stay. As a Catholic school, it's inspiring to see that a few of our non-Catholic families that transferred are actually asking to become Catholic now.
Wow.
I think that's just amazing. And this is a way that we can bring more people to Christ, more people to the pews, and more people in our schools. And we are looking forward to what 2021, 2022 will bring for many reasons. But particularly, we think the enrollment is going to increase again dramatically next year. We're seeing retention rates high. Kindergarten enrollment is triple what it was last year on this time. And things are just looking real out for Catholic schools up here.
Wow. Well, hallelujah. So many things to give praise for. And thank you, Brian. Thank you for not just being on the show today, but also for all of your good work with Cisco. May you be blessed in it, and may you continue the good work. Thanks, Brian, for being on the program.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you very much.
All right, Brian Regetz. And again, that website, if you'd like to go and register for the Cisco Bash coming up this Saturday, May 8th at 7 p.m., go to cscoebash.org. All right, we're going to head into our first break. Coming up right after the short break, taking pro-life to the streets with Alpha Women's Mobile Clinic. We'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life, it might be vocations, it might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Hello, this is Archbishop Bernard Hebda. Welcome you back to Practicing Catholic.
All right, welcome back to Practicing Catholic. You know, we featured the good work being done by many of our Catholic women's centers and crisis pregnancy centers around the Twin Cities. But what about those women who can't easily visit one or who can't quite muster the courage to walk in the door? Ann Fredrickson, Executive Director of Alpha Women's Center, is with us now with a provocative alternative. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks so much. So tell us a little bit, introduce us to Alpha Women's Center. Let's start there.
Well, Alpha Women's Center has been in Prior Lake in the Twin Cities Metro since 1982, and over the years had many of the features of the other traditional pregnancy centers that you mentioned as far as support services for women, and at one time even a maternity home that housed unmarried pregnant girls. Hmm. And in 2011, the director at that time felt like they had strayed from their mission of really reaching out to the abortion vulnerable And she decided to pursue this mobile opportunity. And so they sold the building and invested in a 31-foot RV that's housed with a full ultrasound unit and clinic on board. And so we can take that to various locations around the Twin Cities and serve women in a different way.
Wow. Sounds fantastic. All right. So what would you say, what's the importance behind this? You know, I was just speculating a little bit about, you know, women who couldn't muster the courage to go to a pregnancy center or couldn't quite, you know, couldn't make their way to one. But what are the important, why is it important to go out and reach women who maybe otherwise wouldn't seek out a pregnancy center?
Well, most of those women know about Planned Parenthood and facilities like that and could easily look that up and go there instead, where they may not look up a pro-life center and, like you said, take the step to go through the doors there. But where we are, we park in parking lots around the Twin Cities with permission. We have a very busy location at the Shakopee Target. And we hear women all the time who come on and they say to us, I saw you here every Wednesday for the last 2 years when I went to get my coffee or when I went to do my shopping and I didn't need you then, but today I need you and I knew that you would be here. So wow. It's really taking that outreach to where people are and just being visible and present to them.
Right. And can you go in a little bit to some of the different services that are available to women through the Mobile Women's Clinic?
Of course, we offer all of our services completely free. We have pregnancy testing. We're working on launching STD testing and treatments. And then, of course, we have the ultrasound, which is really a key component to our mission and what we do in using that tool to show women the truth of the life of the baby. It's so often such a critical factor in them choosing life. We know that statistically 4 out of 5 women will choose life, and we see that played out probably even a little higher than those numbers. It's just such a powerful thing for a woman to see her baby on ultrasound, even as early as 7-8 weeks. When they see that heartbeat, it changes things.
Right. Yeah, it is so critically important, as we've heard time and again, and I'm so glad that you have that. Do you have coaching services, anything like that?
We do. So once a woman makes that choice for life, we have all kinds of support that we can surround her with. We have a life coach on staff who's a licensed family therapist, and she provides 10 sessions of free life coaching.
Wow.
That really helps a woman, you know, maybe just have a cheerleader in her corner. A lot of these women have never had someone who believes in them. And it can help with decision-making and goal-setting and kind of change the path of a pattern of decision-making that's maybe led them to a place in life where they're not thriving and not where they want to be. And then we also work with a lot of community partners. We provide diapers and clothing and things like that, of course, but we work with partners in the Twin Cities who can provide really any kind of support service. So whatever that obstacle is for that woman making a decision to choose life, we can address that by really wrapping around her and supporting her.
Okay, wow. And just give us a little bit of a snapshot in case, you know, obviously our listeners may be in need of your services. Our listeners might want to recommend somebody to your services. Just give us a little bit of a snapshot. If I am a woman in an unexpected or even crisis pregnancy, something that's going on that way, and I walk into this mobile women's clinic, I see it parked in Target parking lot or wherever it might happen to be, what's going to happen? What do I encounter when I walk in the door?
The mobile unit is always staffed by a licensed medical professional and a volunteer client advocate. So that volunteer will be the first one to greet the woman when she comes on and do some initial intake paperwork. Our either a registered nurse or a registered sonographer will ask a few medical background questions and do a pregnancy test. So while the woman waits for that, we just, you know, have pleasant conversation. And we get the results, and if that's positive, then we offer the ultrasound. Mm-hmm. So there's a private room in the back, and the volunteer will come and chaperone that. And if the woman has brought a support person, a friend or a boyfriend or a husband, they're welcome to come and see that ultrasound too. And then after that, they will go back to the front and sit down on the couch and kind of talk through where things are now, how that changes things, and what we can do at that point to help and go forward.
Sure.
And often we'll schedule follow-up visits for her at that time.
Yeah, wonderful. Very good. So you mentioned being, well, now let me just clarify. So the building in Prior Lake is gone, so it's entirely mobile now. Is that right?
It is. We have a small office space in Bethesda Church in Prior Lake that they donate to us generously, but we are completely mobile at this time.
Okay. All right. Very good. And is it, you mentioned Shakopee. Are you going to, it sounds like you're going to regular places at regular intervals. Is it all in kind of the Southwest Metro?
Mostly, yes. So we have locations in Prior Lake, Shakopee, Chanhassen, and then Lakeville and New Prague. So kind of New Prague is fairly far south, but that helps us to reach more of a rural community out to the southwest of the metro. Mm-hmm. And then we used to be outside the abortion clinic at Whole Woman's Health, downtown Minneapolis, one Saturday a month. Mm-hmm. They since moved, I think, because of the effectiveness of Pro-Life Action Ministries and ourselves and other sidewalk volunteers, because we could get very close there with street parking.
Sure.
And so they've moved to a facility where it's a private parking lot and we can't get close to it. So we're working with Pro-Life Action Ministries to get up to Robbinsdale or some other locations where we can be helpful. And then one of the other beautiful things about it being on wheels is we can literally take it where it's needed. So
right.
We've had calls from the Crisis Women's Center in Belle Plaine. They serve abused women and victims of domestic violence. So we've driven to Belle Plaine. We've driven to Brooklyn Center to follow up with a client that we actually met at the abortion clinic who walked out and came on the mobile unit and chose life. So we drove up there so that she could show that ultrasound to the baby's father. And they ended up following through on choosing life, and she has a beautiful little boy. So it's definitely such a beautiful and effective ministry to be able to go to where people need us.
Right. And that was going to be my next question, is specifically some stories about the fruits of the ministry. Obviously, that was a great one that you just gave. Any other? Have you seen a good response from the women who come and visit your mobile women's unit?
We have. You know, as executive director, my role is not so much usually day to day on the mobile.
Sure.
But I get to fill in when there's, you know, when there's needs for me to be there. And it's always such a blessing when I get to do that. Because just in the last month, I've been able to experience just the beauty of the witness that our staff can be to that woman in crisis. And in both cases, the women have kind of looked at us with tears in their eyes and said, how can you do this for me? How can you be so kind and offer all this and not charge me anything? And in one of those cases, the woman had actually gone to a Planned Parenthood and felt that she was treated really poorly and made to feel ashamed. And she said, I come here and you just offer all of this to me and all of this love. And, you know, she was really moved and she prayed with us and was really seeking not just the medical help for her situation, but really some spiritual support. And, you know, whatever led her to our door, like, it was just so beautiful to be able to witness. And we had another situation with a young woman who was in high school and suspected she was pregnant. And by the time she came to us, she was actually quite a bit farther along than what she thought. And when she saw that baby on the ultrasound, she just started crying. And she said, that's a real baby. I can't. She actually called us asking for an abortion. And we told her we didn't do that, but that we could help her. And when she saw her son on the ultrasound, it just changed everything for her. And we ended up helping her find housing after she was kicked out of her home. And I had meetings at her school. Like, we really just wrapped around her in every way we could to help ensure her success. And as one of those little God winks, her little boy was born on my birthday, which was
very nice.
Cool. Yeah, it was wonderful. And he's a year and a half old. He's thriving, and mom is in a technical program and really just doing well. You know, life often doesn't come wrapped up in a tidy bow just because a woman makes the right decision and chooses life. There's still struggles ahead, and so we don't walk away from that. We really try to be there for whatever those needs are once they make that choice and go forward to let them know. You know, we hear that so often about pro-life people, right? Like, you just care about the baby being born and then you're nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. And all of us who are pro-life know that that's so far from the truth.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, you see pro-lifers really just going that extra mile to do whatever it takes to care for mom and baby.
Yeah, well, as true as that is, it's always good to hear it, you know, as a reminder, just to show the lengths at which, you know, people are going to support women who choose to give birth and choose against abortion. And so what a tremendous testimony it is to hear about Alpha Women's Center, as well as all the different pregnancy crisis clinics that are around as well, who are working this way as well. A lot of work done behind the scenes there. Well, I think one of the intriguing things that you mentioned, Anne, about the Alpha Women's Mobile Clinic is that you are mobile and that you can drive to places. Is that usual? I mean, do you have people calling up and saying, "Hey, could you come to this place? We need your services."
Not that often. Usually they will find a way to get to one of our regular locations. So we find the consistency of being at those places at the same time every week is important.
Yep.
We also have partnered with Lyft so that if transportation to the mobile clinic is an issue for a woman and we don't want to pick everything up and actually, you know, go to her, we can order a ride for her from Lyft and have, you know, and pay for that on our end so that that's not a barrier for her to get to us. But certainly in situations where it's urgent or it's needed, we will definitely drive it to someone.
Wow. Well, that's great. So when you mentioned this, I mean, I think it just sounds so exciting, and I got to tell you, but, you know, immediately what jumps to mind is a whole fleet of RVs that are going out, you know, to all the different areas of the Twin Cities, and basically that you can't turn around without seeing one. Any thoughts about expansion at this point? Any dreams or hopes that maybe there will be another RV or maybe many more RVs in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of our goals, and it's something our board talks about a lot, that we would love to have at least another one that's out and about in the Twin Cities or even able to go out to more rural areas. We know that with the pandemic and the push for the abortion pill, that there's been an organization that's committed to taking a mobile unit around to rural Minnesota to distribute the abortion pill with no ultrasound, which is super dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just really preying on people who don't have great access to other options. So, I mean, we would love to be out in those communities too, offering a different choice.
Right. Absolutely. Well, in our final minute here, and I need to ask, so do you have an online presence as well where people can find out more about, for instance, where you're going to be or how they can get involved, how they can support Alpha Mobile Women's Clinic?
Yeah, absolutely. The website for our donors and supporters to visit is called MiracleMachineMN.com. That's a little nickname we have for our mobile unit after seeing the good work that it does is Miracle Machine. So they can visit that at MiracleMachineMN.com. And we just wrapped up our virtual gala on Thursday. So we're still certainly taking support for that. And volunteers are always needed. We have women who volunteer as client advocates on board, but also men can help us out by volunteering to drive. They pick it up at our storage unit and drive it to location and set it up for us and keep our gas tank full and our oil checked and all of those things that are a little bit mundane but very important to keeping it running. So it's been a really beautiful way for men to step forward and support our ministry.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Anne Fredrickson, Executive Director of Alpha Mobile Women's Clinic, thank you so much for being with us and for explaining this to us. May God bless you, and may He continue to lead you and guide you. And yeah, let's see a whole fleet of those RVs out there in the near future.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So again, that's MiracleMachineMN.com. Take a look at that. And we're going to head into our next break. Coming up, we'll have an inside look at what the future has in store for the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women with their new president. Stay with us.
Talking about loving our enemies today.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
This is from one of our listeners. She says, "Sorry to say, I literally hated two of my sisters for something they did to my dear mother. I would confess this hatred, but kept struggling and going over the incident time and time again. The turning point was reading the wise words of a 95-year-old priest." And this is what he wrote. pray for the person you resent day and night. Call down God's blessings on them. Lord, give them good health, joy, peace, love, and happiness. Refuse to speak of their faults. Become their cheerleader. Peace will come. I taped his words to the back of my bedroom door so that I pray for them first thing and last thing every day. She says, I won't forget what they have done, but that horrible, sinful hatred is long gone.
Wow.
We just could repeat that about 10 times here. Such great advice for all of us.
Hope and help for your faith journey. The Inner Life, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthoum, our producer, Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. And if you'd like to support the work and ministry of Relevant Radio, please feel free to give a little hope through relevantradio.com, through the Relevant Radio app, or by calling 877-291-0123. The Archdiocese and Council of Catholic Women provides Catholic women of our Archdiocese the tools to become strong leaders, faithful witnesses, and sound moral citizens in the Church and modern society. Joining me now to talk about how this important mission will continue is the new president of the ACCW, Mickey Nicholson. Mickey, good to speak with you. Welcome.
Nice to have me. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Thanks for joining us. And congratulations, first of all. Congratulations on this new appointment. But this isn't your first go-around with the ACCW, is it?
No, it is not. And even to be nominated or selected for a president, you have to serve at least 2 years on the board. So you have a little bit of experience no matter what.
Yeah, very good. And what have you seen in your time with the ACCW? What kind of an impact has it had on your life?
Well, you know, I wasn't involved early in my life, and I was invited to participate from my parish to be the deanery rep to the St. Paul Deanery, and got involved at that level. And from there, someone asked me to be president of the St. Paul Deanery. And as you're president of one of the deaneries, you are on the board of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. And so when I was there for 2 years serving as a representative of my own deanery, I was asked to stay on and became involved in the... We have six commissions, and so I was asked to chair the Community Affairs Commission, and most recently I've been the international chair.
Wow. The international chair. Tell us a little bit about that. What were your responsibilities there?
Well, it was for ethnic understanding was probably the most focus that we had, and...
Okay.
We got involved with the women of Katui, Kenya, to help them build their dormitory. They're building for young women who go to school nearby. And those families, if the money runs low, they're more typically going to take their daughters out of school than their sons. So many of the school dormitories don't really want to have women in their dormitories. So the women of Katui are matching the gifts that we send them. So we, too, have a goal of $50,000 that we're working at, and we've already raised over $30,000. So
That's
been an active part of what we've been doing. We do also the Madonna Fund. We partner with Catholic Relief Services to provide water for life, is probably what everybody knows about. And then we also help with the Haiti mission. And what's been going on for a long time, and many parishes support this, is the Appalachia Project. Every Christmas, we send gifts to two parishes in the Appalachia region, and we fill a semi-truck and send it off. And that all came about because of one person on our board at that time that knew about that. So it's the Archdiocesan Council is really all of the parishes in the diocese. I mean, it's not a standalone. We're partnered with them.
Right.
And then the Archdiocesan Council, of course, is part of the province, which is South and North Dakota and all of the dioceses of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And from there, you go to the national level. So it's all-encompassing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Wow. Yes. So when you were appointed, and then was it a shock to you? Were you surprised?
Well,
and what was your reaction?
Yeah, in our board meeting in November, they asked, you know, who do you think should become our next president? And we nominate, in other words, but we don't really nominate exactly. We just let the people know that we would want them to consider it. And so you do go through an application process, and then you send that to our spiritual director, who has been Father Dave Kohner, mm-hmm. and then his selection goes on to the Archbishop, and the Archbishop decides and lets the person know usually about mid-January. So you're appointed in January, but you're not installed until our convention, which just happened on April 30th.
Okay, all right.
So well. I knew that other times I've been asked to do this. I don't know that I've ever discerned as much about it as this time. And I don't know, maybe it was the isolation that we've had lately that gave me time to really think about what's God calling me to do. And sometimes when I get kind of worried about, can I really do this, I go like, you know, I don't think it was your choice exactly, Mickey. I think the Lord was telling you through the Holy Spirit to get,
yeah, well,
to get
obviously,
on with the job.
That's right. Well, that's the best way of doing things, right, is when it's the Holy Spirit telling us to do it. That's
exactly,
right.
Exactly.
So just curious what your new responsibilities now as the new president, what do they entail? I mean, is it largely administrative and development work, or is it a whole smorgasbord of things?
You know, it is a lot of administration because the work of the commissions all carry on all of those projects. But usually the president will send a certain direction. And when I was on the nominating committee for what was just elected our secretary and a second vice president, we were asking one woman if she would consider being put on the ballot. And she said, not at this time, but if you ever have anything for pro-life, let me know. That's my passion. Okay. And I went like, okay, what is my passion? And my passion is just about everything. You know, I just really like to involved in most everything. But I really like matching the gifts the person has to what they can do. I think a lot of times we fill holes because nobody else seems to come forward. But I really think that there are gifts out there, and all of us have been cut off from many of the activities that we used to do, and we kind of went like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. And so again, I think there are women in our archdiocese who really need to be asked to come forward. Mm-hmm. I myself did not raise my hand and said, oh, let me get involved. I was asked, and that personal invitation is so important. So I would like to see us be involved in reaching out to people, letting them know that they need to come forward. I really do want to promote this whole, we're in the year of St. Joseph, but the whole year of the Holy Family. There are things that I've done. These women have supported me, but they've also challenged me to do things that I normally would never have said yes to. And I think that all of us need to be challenged and grow, no matter what age we are.
No, that's beyond the shadow of a doubt. And as far as the other stuff goes, preach it. You are singing my song. Love to hear about, yes, let's not just put people into positions because they can fog a mirror, right? But let's help them to understand and explore the gifts God's given them, and then to use them effectively where they'd be most effective. So I think that's great. I think that's a great role for you to seek to fulfill there in as the new president of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely some prayers for you according to that. Now, are there things that specifically that you're looking forward to that you know will be on the list? Any ideas running through your head right now of that you can share anyway? That I'd really like to get involved in this specific aspect, or is it again more of just a general want to just make it work well?
Well, it's interesting that when you are asked to be on the board, it's 2-year commitment. And then you can do it a second time, so you can have 4 years. And in talking to people that are coming back in the same position that they had before, they got all these good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because that first year, whatever you're doing, you're kind of going like, okay, what have they done before? What am I supposed to do? It's a really learning process.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, any new ideas I had really didn't come forward. So now it's almost like I need to take out the reins and pull a few people back that we can't do everything. Let's really identify what we can do. And some of the things we'll continue doing, our commitment to Our Lady of Peace Home, our whole involvement with Respect Life, our grandparent ministry. We have the Cana Institute that we've been involved with, the Appalachia Project, as I mentioned. The Naomi Ruth Partnership, where two women are praying for each other on a daily basis, and we've now started a new program called a mentorship, so that a person who kind of knows what's going on can partner with a woman who wants to be more involved. And we're going to start that out kind of slow, work out the wrinkles, and go forward. So I guess it's yet to be seen. Our first full board meeting will be in August, and so we'll set some real goals and suggestions for what we can all do. And better connected with each of the parishes. Sometimes I think that it's kind of the downtown group, and we want to know that everybody is important and should be involved.
Yeah, well, coupling that with what you said before about people really need to be invited, then in our last couple of minutes here, I just wanted to ask you, well, I'll give you the floor. Invite women who are part of our archdiocese who are listening to the program. If they're not currently involved with the work of the council, how can they become involved and where should they do so?
Well, a lot of the parishes have their own Council of Catholic Women, and I would start there. They should know about us. If not, then each of the deaneries has a meeting on a quarterly basis. They have a president. We have a website. Certainly call the downtown office, and we'll talk to anybody who wants to be talked to. Should I give that number? Or?
Sure, you can give the number. Sure.
It's 45-45. I don't know it yet, I guess. Okay.
That's all right. It takes some getting used to, certainly. 651-291-4545. Did I
correct.
Hear you correctly?
Correct.
All right.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. And they can, and I believe there's a website as well.
Yep.
Is that
it's
right?
ACCW Arch, ARCHSPM.org. So we're part of the Archdiocesan organization.
Yeah. ACCW
ARCHSPM.org.
Wonderful. Well, any way specifically that we can pray for you, Mickey, as you step into this role and as you are seeking the Lord's vision for the Archdiocesan Council?
I just want to be wise in my decisions. I'd pray for that. I definitely would recommend listening to Relevant Radio. I think you're, I'm not going to remember the miracle ones that you've brought across. You have people that you have touched deeply because of the radio. I don't know that I can point to someone that says, this really is what saved my life or brought me closer to the Lord. I know that happens, but I haven't personally heard that. And so when I listen to people share that, I hope that people will tell others what this means to them, because then it's easier to go forward and work harder.
Yeah. It's just giving voice to what the Lord is doing in our lives, right? Yeah, and then inviting others to see the Lord work in their lives as well. Well, Mickey, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Again, congratulations to you as the new president of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. May God continue to bless you, lead you, and guide you over the course of these next 2, maybe 4 years.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Yes, thank you. All right. So again, if you'd like to check it out online, ACCWArchSPM.org is the website. That was Mickey Nicholson, new president of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. We're going to go into our final break. Well, we've got relics, a book study, and a little wine. All this and more coming up in our calendar items. Paul and I will be right back with them after this short break. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. You know, the pandemic isn't over. Keep praying for our Christian brothers and sisters in India, and Brazil, and around the world, and right here at home. And keep on looking out for other individuals and the common good. Get tips and updated information on vaccines and alternatives to in-person Mass over at archspm.org/COVID-19.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Check out the lineup, 4 a.m. prayer and reflection with Daybreak, daily Mass at noon. At 3, it's the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew, 7 p.m. Family Rosary Across America, followed by daily Mass again at 7:30, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
Get a jump on Synod Small Groups coming up this fall. Head on over to archspm.org/synod to find out how Synod Small Groups will work, what will be discussed, and how and why you should take part. It's all at archspm.org/synod, where you'll also find resources like the Praying with Scripture series, the Synod at Home series, the Healing Hope Retreat, and more.
This week, visit an exposition of over 150 sacred relics, including those of St. Joseph, St. Maria Goretti, St. Therese of Lisieux, and featuring a piece of Our Lady's Veil and one of the largest remaining pieces of the True Cross. The exposition and a teaching on relics will be Wednesday, May 12th, 7 p.m. at Epiphany in Coon Rapids, and again Saturday, May 15th, 6 p.m. at St. Dominic in Northfield. Visit treasuresofthechurch.com for more information.
Heart to Heart is a book study for victim survivors of sexual abuse based on Daring Greatly, How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead by Brené Brown. The study will meet the first and third Wednesdays of the month beginning Wednesday, May 19th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. via Zoom. For more information and registration, visit archspm.org/events.
Ladies, join the Women of Wine in person for a fabulous evening with award-winning Catholic author and jazz singer Liz Kelly as she brings a powerful message on love from the leading ladies of the 1920s to the women of the 2020s. The evening also includes light appetizers, sweets and treats, a little shopping, and a few surprises. Thursday, May 20th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Church of St. Pius X in White Bear Lake. Register online at CatholicVineyard.com.
You know, Paul, I think we should have a contest to see who can come up with a great name for a group of men like wine, a group of men who get together, but yeah, the acronym has to be beer. What do you think about that?
Well, either that or tools.
Tools. Oh, okay. Where are you going, honey? I'm going off to tools. Okay.
Yeah.
You are a tool. Okay. All right.
Beer's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to go down that road, I suppose.
Oh, I suppose not.
Well, just a reminder to everyone that our one-stop online shop here at Braxton Catholic is practicingcatholicshow.com, where you'll find links to past interviews, all our social media, and how to suggest a guest or topic. It's all under one roof at practicingcatholicshow.com. And yeah, if you're interested, please give some hope as Pledge Week draws to a close here in Relevant Radio. Give some hope and support the important online work, the important work of Relevant Radio, which is online through the Relevant Radio app as well as on your car radio there too.
And your home radio too.
Your home radio, it is there too.
The one on the kitchen counter. That one works too.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, very good. Well, that can be done at relevantradio.com through the Relevant Radio app and also by calling 877-291-0123. And thank you. Thank you for your support and generosity. Well, we got another show coming up next week. Next week, did you know that we're approaching Archbishop Hebda's five-year anniversary on his installation? He's going to be with us to reflect a little bit with us. And then Jeremy Stanbury on Open Window Theater's play Lolik, the tale of the young life of Pope St. John Paul II. And Allison Spies is going to be back for another Archdiocesan Archives segment. All that's coming up next time. So glad you could be with us this time. God bless you. And in the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. to listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.